Reading from the Jiva Dharma, Chapter 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sambandha Tattva comprises Ishvara's relationships with the Jiva, relationship of Jivas and of matter with Ishvara, and the relationship of the Ishvara and of the Jivas with matter. One who understands this Sambandha Tattva completely is situated in Sambandha Gyan, and one who does not have Sambandha Gyan cannot become a pure Vaishnava by any means. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksuran Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're up to the part in Jiva Dharma where in this cyclic succession, Sannyas Thakur, who's been enlightened by Premdas Babaji in Gojram. In fact, tomorrow I leave for Mayapur. It's very unusual for me. It's very, very unusual for me to not be in Vrindavan for Kartik, but I received a request from the Ranjan Swami to go on Navadvip Parikram, and I asked permission from Keshava Bharti Maharaj, Vaisheshika Prabhu, and the others that I have sangha with in this month, if I could go just for a week. I felt that when such an exalted soul as Anjan Swami asks for your company, it's very, very hard to refuse such an offer. And I think there's something about going to Mayapur in terms of entering into Vrindavan, because that's actually the practice of entering Vrindavan. When you meditate on Mahaprabhu's pastimes, when you meditate on Mahaprabhu, really to deeply meditate and understand and thus serve a person, you have to really penetrate their heart. And the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the desire of Krishna to understand, attain, and relish the mood of Srimati Radharani. So, service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and meditation on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the entrance into Braj. So perhaps Krishna feels I need some more qualification to stay in Govardhan and do my bhajan during the month. But this is the month that I look forward to more than any month in the year, to really make sure I can gear myself and get back on track into the tasting part of Krishna consciousness, which enhances my ability to distribute Krishna consciousness. But anyway, this Leela about Krishna consciousness, this story about Krishna consciousness, takes place in Gojram Dweep, where people are being enlightened. and now this aristocratic Brahmin, who was tinged with Brahmanism, smarta Brahmanism, is being enlightened, and it's come to the stage that he moves to the ashram of Prem Das Babaji and has a kutir now next to his Siksha Guru, who was Sannyas Thakur, is now initiated as Vaishnav Das. Many of you have been following this story. Sometimes people come on new, but it's very, very interesting. And by the instructions of Vaishnav Das, Lahari Mahasai, this aristocratic Brahmin, he really is developing faith. He's heard truth. He's heard truth from a person who has realized truth. He's heard that realized truth applied to his personal situation, his personal inhibitions, his personal attachments, his personal fears, in a way that he gets the lens to overcome them. Of course, this is accelerated. What may take a long time happens very quickly for the sake of the story. But that's what it means to have relationships with sadhus. Their knowledge is presented in a way that it fits your ability to understand, to take that knowledge and to clean and reshape the lens of your mind so that you can see a world above personal attachments and therefore above fears, because fear is based on our attachments. If you have no personal attachments, you have no fear. So, in this dialogue, he wants to understand further, and he really wants to understand what is a pure Vaishnav. And the Vaishnav Das is such a scholar, he's actually studied all his life, although he had recently come to Krishna consciousness. He has a tremendous background of austerity and knowledge, and he's able to access that in his approach to understanding. And what Vaishnav Das explains, and it's a very interesting analysis that which I like the Jagadharma. You get new perspectives on things that perhaps you haven't heard in that way before. That's the brilliance of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So what happens is, He explains that basically people on a path of spirituality have three different types of tendencies by their previous samskaras. One is for karma, jnana, or bhakti. And it's very interesting. He says one with karma, indeed, the tendency for karma, he tends to, and I'm not sure I understand this fully, but it is something we have to analyze this. He becomes attracted to subtle material powers that come from the worship of the Paramatma, and therefore the Paramatma becomes his objective. And those with jnana have the Brahman pravritti, the tendency to worship Brahman. And they become, and then those who have Bhagavan pravritti, their inclination is called devotion. And then he explains how devotion, which is also known as Vaishnav Dharma, Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma, Nitya Dharma, Jiva Dharma, Bhagavat Dharma, Paramatma Dharma, the Dharma that strives for the ultimate benefit, and Paradharma, the supreme functions. It's actually Nitya. It's actually the nature of the soul. Where when you cultivate Jnana, your process is inspired not by love of God, but the inspiration to get free from the bondage of matter, which is a temporary cause. So it's nimittika dharma. It's not your eternal dharma. And same thing with the jivas who adopt the dharma of seeking paramatma, who have the impetus of a subtle type of material pleasure. It's also nimittika dharma. It's temporary dharma. And only the unalloyed religion of worshiping God, Sri Hari, is Nitya Dharma. So Lahari Mahasai, when he hears this, it just makes so much sense. I talk about this often, that faith is such a connection with understanding, but ultimately faith is experience. But without the proper understanding, you'll close your heart to the proper experience. But when you hear the reasonability of spiritual life, you know, just recently in Vrindavan, just to tell you what I'm doing, I mean, it's kind of related to this, but as soon as I hit the pavement, hit the dust here, 24 people were brought with Raghunath, and you know, I just volunteered my time to serve them, serve these great souls that have an opportunity to touch the dust of Vrindavan. I just tried to serve them. And in doing so, and present, they may get this experience of the Dham, of Bhakti. And generally they do. I meet wonderful people. And then Virabhadra and Dhyana from the Bhakti Center, known as also Bud, Virabhadra, they brought another 8 people after that. I didn't have much response to it, but still. What I try to do is I try to show people the real Vrindavan. In fact, today I'm taking Madhava, the Kirtanir, to the forest of Vrindavan, where we'll have Bhujbasi wrote these, the supreme food. Anybody who has them realizes that. And we'll take him there. And then yesterday we went to a place called Tatiastan. These are places people hardly go to. Where in Vrindavan, there's a place where 5 acres is preserved as the original Vrindavan. The original Vrindavan forest, spotlessly clean sand, no electricity, and we also chanted there. Well, it might have been a few people. But the point is, there was another group here that was filming the pilgrimage to make a promo and also Food for Life that I was connected with. And the lady was won 2 Emmy Awards in documentary film. So we had very nice talks. And at the end, I mean, because she's filming the pilgrimage and hearing all the katha and all. I got cut off. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Can someone say hello?
Hare Krishna.
So anyway, I'm not sure where I'm going with this. I kind of got lost. But anyway, she asked me, you know, she was amazed in filming that people actually believe that Krishna is God. Anyway, I explained to her the reasonable conception of divinity of Krishna. Anyway, let me get back to this. But I forgot where that went, so excuse me. So this Lahari, He wanted to take more instructions. The more he's hearing, the more his answers are satisfied, the more the knowledge that he gets allows him to reshape the lens of his mind, the more faith he develops. And he wants to take initiation, but humbly, Vaishnava does just take instructions from me. And then he explains that to understand Vaishnava Dharma, there are three fundamental principles that one must understand and act in accordance with. Samvandigyan, a proper understanding of Krishna. Abhideyagyan, a proper understanding of how to realize Krishna. And Prayojanagyan, a proper understanding of the result of doing so. So now he's explaining the first principle, Samvandigyan, which really deals, as Prabhupada said so simply, and those of you who've heard my sanghas before, I think it's worth repeating the point, that matter, spirit, and controller of both is Samvandigyan. In other words, if you want to understand reality and therefore line up your life in relationship to reality, which means to be a servant of reality, which because we are part of reality, you have to understand reality. And reality means what? God, matter, spirit, and the controller of both. You have to understand what God means. A little description here. Sri Bhagavan is one without a second and endowed with all potencies. He is all attractive, the exclusive abode of opulence and sweetness. He's Aishwarya. He's all grandeur. He's Madhurya. He's all love. He's all sweetness. And is the sole shelter for all jivas. He is the shelter. Our relationship with God is the sustenance of our being, as much as the sustenance of the hand is the shelter of the body, because the hand is part of the body. We are part of God. That is our shelter. And without that connection or link, we will never find any shelter. Because our meaning, our purpose, our nourishment, our satisfaction can only be fulfilled within our dharma, our essence, our nature, and that's who we are. Although he's the only shelter of Maya and all the jivas, still he is aloof and independent and exists in his own supreme independent form, Sarup. He's the shelter. Everything depends on him. Illusory energy is coming from him. All the entities are coming from him. Their identity, their meaning is in relationship with him. But still, he has his own swarup, his own form, which is uncommonly beautiful because the sweetness of God is his love, and it manifests in his beauty. The effulgence of his limbs radiate a great distance, manifesting as the Nirvishesha Brahman. The Brahman is the effulgence of his limb. Through his divine potency known as Aishi Shakti, he manifests the jivas in the material world. And then enters into the world as Paramatma, who is his partial expansion. This is the fundamental truth concerning Ishvara, the supreme controller, of Paramatma, the indwelling Supersoul. This is Bhagavan. It's the absolute reality. It's the absolute shelter from whom Jadmadhyasyajata, everything else manifests. In the Vaikuntha region of the spiritual sky, beyond this material universe, he manifests as Narayan. This is like some Bundigan. So who is Narayan? Narayan is also a relationship. God manifests in the spiritual region. His feature of supreme, in Narayan, his feature of supreme opulence and majesty. So in Vaikuntha, it is the place where that divine absolute reality manifests his majesty and opulence. For those who have the fortune and pleasure of having that type of relationship with God in his full vibhuti or potency. In Goloka Vrindavan, which is beyond Vaikuntha, he manifests as Gopi Jana Vallabha Sri Krishna Chaitanya. His feature as the supreme sweetness. For those supremely fortunate who have an attraction for the intimate, not just God's grandeur, but his intimate heart, his inner personality that manifests in relationship. If there is God, how sweet must he be in relationship? It is the supreme sweetness. It is everything we have ever been seeking for in relationships. And if there's one thing that people seek more than anything else, even than having the proper idol, proper master, the proper celebrity, is having the proper friend, is having the proper child, is having the proper lover. There's various types of expansion, such as identical manifestations, prakash, and pastime forms, the laws, are eternal unlimited. This is Jivadharma, brilliant summary of who is Bhagavan, who is God. He has various expansions. The identical manifestations are called prakash, like Balaram. And the pastime forms are called vilas. He manifests with there. Nothing and no one is equal to him. What to speak of being superior to him? This satisfies our heart that there is an absolute reality. His identical manifestations and pastime forms, prakash and vilas, are manifested by his superior potency known as Parashakti. So this is by the supreme Shakti. Parashya Shaktir Vidaya Shruyate. That God has unlimited potencies. And basically for the exchange of love. What does God manifest for? He manifests for his pleasure, and his pleasure is in the exchange of love. The Parashakti displays its prowess in many different features, out of which only three are known to the jivas. So the first is the chit shakti, the internal potency. which arranges God's Shri's pastimes and everything related to them. The second is the marginal potency, the jiva or the tattva shakti, which manifests and sustains innumerable living entities. The third is the illusion-generating potency, maya shakti, which creates material time, material activities, and all the insubstantial objects of this world. Such an interesting concept that time is not supreme. That God has access to all aspects of time and can move within them. On the ultimate realm, there is not material time. And it makes sense, for if there is a God, how can there be something superior to him? But it's inconceivable to us, having the experience of time as being supreme, it's inconceivable for us to understand how anything can be beyond that. In fact, time is God himself. Time, I am the destroyer of all worlds, Bhagavad Gita says, and I've come to engage all people. Time moves to engage us and to purify us. Now, we finally got a little halfway through the class. Now that he explained Bhagavan, then he explained Jiva and Maya. So this is to understand some Sambandhagyan. And this point here, you know, it was once brought to me by Pradyumna, and it was so brilliant that metaphysical knowledge is the understanding of relationship. And if God has energies, to understand God, you have to understand the relationship between God and his energies. And it's the fundamental principle of having devotion. Because if you think you're the body, then you'll think you're the God. Basically, you'll think you're the enjoyer. And how can you serve God if you have that conception? And if you think that you're God, how can you serve God? Because what's the question of relationship? And if you think God is material, you don't understand the sambandha, the relationship between God and matter. Why should you want to worship God if he's material? So this point, which Pradyumna explained to me, I'm seeing he's got it from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he says, without that, you cannot become a pure Vaishnav. Without some Sambandhagyan, which is why Prabhupada gave us books that are 80% Sambandhagyan. Because if you have the wrong understanding of the relationship of God and God's energy, you cannot have devotion. If you think that you are God, then what's the question of love? You think God is matter. What is the question of love? So now, Lahari Mahasai, he says, and it's a beautiful question, he said, I've heard from some Vaishnavas that one is a real Vaishnav only if he experiences the path of devotion through bhava, emotion. So there is no need for knowledge. How much truth is there in this statement? So he's now heard, and I think many devotees confuse us, that we don't need understanding. We don't need philosophical understanding to be devotees. We just need experience. But here, it's understood that, true, we need experience to be devotees, but we won't have a foundation to that experience without the proper understanding.
Can anyone hear me? Hare Krishna? Let me try to... Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Can say hello?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
When did I get cut off?
It was 8:36, I think, by my clock.
8:36?
Yes.
It's been about 12 minutes, Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I was on a roll, too. Oh. Okay, anyway, I did my best. Anybody like to say hello?
Oh, can you hear me, Maharaj?
Did someone try to send me an email?
I did, Maharaj. It's Hare Krishna.
Yes, somehow or other, I don't know why it doesn't work when the phone's on. Okay. I'm sorry. I mean, okay. 8:36, so it was about, and yeah. Okay. Anyway, you know, somehow I just do my best. Does someone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, can I ask you something? Maharaj?
Yeah.
Oh. Is it a good night for questions?
Yeah, you can ask a question.
Yeah. Yeah, this is awesome. It's actually such a super soul experience hearing you talk about the Sambandha, you know, and why we can't. If you only knew my conversation yesterday, boy. Anyway, you were saying why we can't worship Krishna if we think we're matter, or if we think God is matter, you know, or if we think we're God. So my question is twofold. One, we can't worship God if we...
No, you can worship God, but you can worship God, and you can do devotion, but you can't have Shuddha pure bhakti. You can't practice, you know, you can't... I see people that they don't have exactly the conception, but they worship Krishna, they do kirtan, they have some love, they have some understanding, but they may have a misconception about that, maybe an impersonal misconception. They can't get pure bhakti until they have some bandhagan.
It can't be pure. I guess... What would be lacking? What to keep it from being pure? What would be lacking? Let's say, you know, you said that we can't get pure bhakti if we think God is matter. And I'm thinking about people who worship celebrities, for example. You know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's, you know, those are material personalities. You know, I mean,
right.
What keeps it from being pure, or what precludes the experience of pure bhakti?
Because if you think you're the body, it means you think that you are the enjoyer and controller. So your perspective is off. And people who worship celebrities, it's not actually love. You know, they're doing it for themselves because they think they're the bodies.
How is worshiping a celebrity or somebody materially great, how is that for yourself?
Different between what?
How is that for yourself?
Worshiping a celebrity, because it is. It's not pure love. It has to. If you're in the bodily conception, it has to do with your ego. I am worshiping them because I get something out of it. And it's not just service and love. It's I'm the best person because I worship this celebrity. It's mixed with so many things like that. Not just that I love selflessly. It's not. As long as there's some bodily conception, there's something in it for yourself. And when you have pure devotion, all you want to do is love Krishna. That's your desire, but it's a pure desire. Because we are desire. We're sentient. We have desire.
Yeah, and, you know, and I guess my fundamental question is, why does it have to mean that if you think you're the body, that you necessarily have to be worshiping you necessarily have to want something for yourself.
Because that's what it means. That's what the identification with the body is. It's you identify with the body because you want to be the enjoyer, and therefore that's the whole basis of that consciousness. I'm not just saying that you have desires and you identify with the body, but that's what you think you are. I think that I am the body. That's my identity. And wrapped up in that identity is a certain selfishness, because that's why we are identifying with the body.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to go, so I'm going to just ask if there's anybody else like to say hello that's still kind of hung on.
No, but that was good. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Okay, people.
Hare Krishna, Allegra.
Allegra, Hare Krishna. Hey, send me anything, a little report on your studies when you get a chance, okay? Okay, thank you.